in our culture today, we have glory issues. You ever notice that? You know, how important is it that your clothing shows a label? You know, it's who it's made by and so forth. Or we wear sports clothing, and it may be the colors of our favorite team. It may be the number of our favorite players. It may be of someone significant in athletics. And so that's all part of marketing. And they make money doing this. In the media, the print media, or even as on TV and things like that, if you get your name mentioned, then it's all good. Whether it was bad or not, it's just spell my name right, you know, say it right. And we have this glory issue, but it's not new. It's not new that humanity is taking credit for the glory of God. It's not me that humanity has wanted the attention here instead of giving attention to Him. It goes back all the way into the Old Testament. God chose His people. And you have the God, and in the Old Testament it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then sometimes when we read these, it's like, man, everybody glorified these dudes, you know, because they were famous. But it's actually talking about how God was glorified by them and how He blessed the people through them. But what happened among the Israelites was they wanted the glory for themselves. And so it was as if, you know, the temple leaders and the people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the different kind of people within the group of what was called Israelites, you know, it's like they began to have their own cheers, you know, almost like a high school team and the pep squad and all. And they would cheer about, you know, how they were the chosen ones and how they were God's selected people. And so when David, remember the story of David and Goliath? Goliath was on one side yelling about y'all amount to nothing. He said it meaner and nastier than that. And he even taunted their God, and the soldiers of Israel were there, and they were trembling in their boots. Well, they wore sandals. And they were afraid. And little David comes up, the armor's too big for him, and he slays Goliath and ends up killing him. But all of Israel was afraid when this giant of a being, of a man, offended them and their faith. And the Jews would do this often. They would want the glory. And they would be disobedient, but they flaunted it in front of God. It doesn't matter what we do. We are God's chosen. He's not going to hurt us. And that's why they ended up in enslavement. And so God raised up Moses, and you had the 10 plagues. And in the Old Testament, you have a reference to Moses. And Moses himself started to grab glory when he struck the rock. He was told to command the rock to give water. And Moses thought he was big stuff, and he got that big stick, his staff, and it pop, you know, and water from the rock. And you could imagine how Moses strutted around. I did the water, you know. Just like we do when we think we accomplished something significant. We say, look at me. And Moses said, look at me. And God says, I am looking, and you messed up. And so from this mountaintop, Moses got to look out, and God showed him. And it says his eyes were pretty good eyesight, even though as old as he was. And his energy level was still pretty intense for an old man, but better even than young men. He was good, and yet God said, you get to look, but the physical promised land you don't enter. And Moses died, and God buried him. God acknowledged his service. God acknowledged his faithfulness. But God also kept his promise. that Moses received into the kingdom of God, but he didn't get to go into the land, the physical land on earth that was promised to the Israelites. And many times the faithfulness of the people of Israel would rank high and it would be low, and it yo-yoed up and down throughout history. And for 400 years before Jesus came, it was really low. The people did not want to give God the glory. They grabbed it for themselves. And then Jesus came. And at this point, the Mount of Transfiguration is before he starts to head to Jerusalem. This is in preparation for what we call Holy Week. In that time, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he is going to suffer, he's going to be crucified, he is going to die on a cross, and he is going to be buried. And then he is going to rise again. We call that Easter. But the people of Israel, oh, they loved the miracles and they loved the healing, but they didn't like his teachings. Jesus would say, "You have heard it said of old, but I say to you," and boy, was that different than what they had been doing. And he talked about how you should not commit murder, but hate in your heart is murder. And they would go, "Who said so?" They would challenge him. They did not want to listen to Jesus. They only wanted Jesus to do what they wanted him to do, not what God sent him to do. And so they were, some hoped that he was the restoration of the nation of Israel. Do you know what that means? That the Romans would be kicked out. They would be wiped out. And that the chosen people would get the glory of having a great God. And again, they would be strutting around saying, "Look at us, we're the chosen ones." But it wasn't that way. It was God's chosen one. He was to receive the glory. And Christ did. When he defeated the devil and overcame sin and death, he gets the glory. And in Hebrews, that second reading for this morning, again you see, we cannot compete to get the glory. God's Son gets the glory. Not people as great as Moses or anybody else in history. It is Jesus Christ that is to be glorified. And the thing is that the glory of Jesus is different than ours. You know, see, I look white and righteous only because I put this on. But inside, I'm the sinner. Christ is sinless. He doesn't put on white. He is white. He's the light of the world. From him, we see his glory. We don't simply give him glory when he had none. We give him glory because he has all of it. We acknowledge his glory in worship, in prayer, in scripture reading, and the like. We show God the glory. We reflect it back to him because he has shown it to us. And so Peter, James, and John, there on the mountain, get to see Moses and Elijah gloried in the fact that they are in heaven, and now they appear on earth, and right in the middle of them is Jesus. And Jesus is brighter than the two men. So here's our dilemma. Are we repeating history? In what ways do we seek glory? And in what ways do we give God the glory? I don't want to accuse people of having no faith whatsoever. But I have to say it is confusing when people go to the award ceremonies, you know, and they say, "I want to thank God, you know, my family and all of this." And I think it's appropriate to give acknowledgement and thanks to God. But then out of their mouth, and maybe even their clothing style, here's all the things of the flesh seeking attention of the flesh. You don't have to be going to the awards shows. We do that. In our language, in our criticism of others, we put people down, expressing that we are better than them, looking for accolades and things like that. We bully so that people give us the attention. We critique, say, oh, look at them. I could wear that better, you know, kind of thing. Oh, look at them. I can do that better. Oh, what do they think they're doing? Who do they think they are? Telling on myself. I was in school. I won't tell you what grade. This is going to surprise you. I was talking. I was talking while the teacher was talking. And the teacher stops and she says, Carl, do you want to teach this class or do you want me to teach this class? And in my foolishness said, I'll come up. Do we not do that with God? The Father says of the one who has all the glory, you'll listen to him. So which would we rather do? Would we rather listen to God or talk? I'll wait, you decide. We know the answer. There are times we don't want anybody talking, we just want peace and quiet. There are times we want to talk. And there's times we want to tell Jesus what he's allowed to talk. We have a problem with the transfiguration of Jesus. It's not, is he the Son of God? It's not, did he come to save us sinners? But who gets the glory? Who is to be honored in our lives? Who is number one? Who is the one that gets all praise and accolades and celebration and thanksgiving and even to hear our problems? Who's the one to whom we turn to? And we do so because we know he turned to us. He came down to earth. True God, true man, born of Mary, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, to be crucified, to die. He was buried. And then on the third day, I have to get my right fingers, on the third day, he rose again. Anytime you're seeking glory, just go through those things. Who died for you? Who overcame your sin? Who paid for your sin? Who overcame death? Who rose again, that you may have life? And your heart and your mind will be renewed. And really, where our energies and where our praises and where our accolades and where our words of positive, you know, focus is to be. And it's to be in Christ. Yes, humanity is a problem with glory. We seek it ourselves. Do you remember in the garden that sneaky old serpent? It. Remember what he offered? And you will be like God. Glory! They ate it. And they only brought death. God gets the glory because in him is life. The best hockey players, don't deserve glory compared to Christ. Not even close. The best baseball players? No. Even the best pastors? Sorry, Al. We do not, should never be glorified, except that we receive glory from the one who has lived and died and in us, our Lord and Savior. And so if someone doesn't praise you, and someone doesn't reward you, and someone doesn't honor you, find a way to be okay with it. And the way is Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen.